He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, His blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah,
Wow, if people stop in here by accident, they might think we're Christians or something. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. Singing songs of praise to our God, you can never go wrong. We ought to be praising Him continually. We ought to be rejoicing over all that He's done for us. all He's doing in us, all He's doing through us, and all He's doing around His world. And what He did through His Son, Jesus Christ, is something we better never, never forget. Last week we were in Philippians, and we're there again today. We talked last week about Philippians 2, 5 through 8, which talks about the tremendous humiliation that Jesus went through to pay the price for our sins so that it all would be paid in our behalf. We're all into free things, aren't we? I'll tell you what, whenever they have free bread out here, I look that over every Sunday. Might be a loaf there I'd like. And those can be a real help to some of you who are in the lower bracket of income, and I hope that you're being blessed in many bigger ways than that by the riches of Christ as it is proclaimed, as it is practiced here in Sunnyside Community Church, and as you share what you've learned about the Lord with others. Well, this is a great time of the year. April seems to be the time for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're going to be a part of that sunrise service on the 20th of April at 7 a.m. in the morning over in Happy Valley Church. And I think you'll be hearing about that maybe by next Sunday. But it's a great time of the year because, and I was thinking in relationship to what I'm going to be talking about today, that it's springtime. It's time for spring cleaning in our houses. I spent about an hour working on something yesterday that I've been going to do for about a year. And it looks a lot cleaner when I got done. So I just need to go over the rest of the house as well sometime. Maybe fall before I finish that project. But the Lord does a house cleaning in our lives too. He wants our vessels to be pure and clean, to be useful in His sight. And I pray hard every Sunday that my vessel, my life, will be clean so that He can use me as a channel through which He can speak to you so that you can be blessed. I listened to one of JQ's sermons on a CD the other day from 2012, and I was blessed by that. Just to hear him preach again was a blessing, Pat, and I heard that during dinner time. You've got some good teachers and preachers here in this congregation, and you're going to have one coming in God's time. We spent some time in Dallas the other night. We heard all eight of the candidate couples give their testimonies, and we talked with about six of them anyway while we were there. They wanted to talk to some of the veteran missionaries to see what they were getting into. And I talked to Gil, our district representative, and he is working hard to find the right family to send to Sunnyside Community Church. And you're praying, too, that the right couple will come. Trust me, God will send that couple. They will be here sometime. And I'll be here for a while yet. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 is a fantastic passage. It's, I'm in water way deeper than I can swim in here. This is fantastic stuff, but it's the Scriptures, and it's the truth. When you start out with verse 9 where it says, therefore, you always have to remember to read the previous verses before you can understand the significance of these three verses that I'm going to be talking about today. Previous verses talked about having the mind of Christ, the attitudes that Jesus had that took him all the way from a virgin birth to a virtuous life to a vicarious death so that he could have a victorious resurrection. And I'll tell you what, there's no one that's ever matched the quality of the life that Jesus lived on planet Earth. He went about doing good, all right, because he always and forever did the will of his Father who was in heaven. And he was willing to sacrifice all the pleasures and joys of being in heaven where there's no problems to come to earth where it's almost nothing but problems in order to solve our problems. And he did that. He did that thoroughly at the cross of Christ, because at the cross of Christ, he gives us victory over sin. That's always the big issue, isn't it? He gives us victory over the sin that had so encumbered us and weighted us down and condemned us to die. He gave us that forgiveness of sin that could only come through his shed blood. We talked about that when he went to the death of the cross in verse 9. He shed his blood there that we could be cleansed of our sin. The life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus says. And when he shed his blood, he gave his life for us that we could live. And that's such a wonderful thing that we will never, never get over being appreciative about. And then he also gave us victory over Satan. I don't know if you've thought very much about that, but in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it tells us that he did something that was so significant there. Satan had done everything he could do to keep us from having salvation. But it says in Colossians 2:15, when Jesus had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Satan had tried really hard from the time Jesus was before Jesus was born, right from the Garden of Eden, he had tripped up everybody that he could and tried to destroy their testimony and distort the message of God to the world. And he tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross. He tried to get him stoned to death. He tried to do everything to trip Jesus up from going to the cross, because Satan knew that would be the end of his activity and success if Jesus really did fulfill the scriptures and die for our sins at the cross. And, I'm glad that Jesus triumphed over him there. Jesus also saved us from the condemnation of the law that was against us, having canceled out the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, Colossians 2:14. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. My sins and my condemnation was nailed to the cross. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he had victory over sin. He had victory over Satan. He had victory over death. He had victory over the shame that goes with the crucifixion. He had victory over the suffering. Remember this. Remember this, that when you suffer, it may be connected directly to the very sufferings of Christ, because you can represent him. And if you face suffering because you are a Christian, you're suffering with Christ, and you're sharing in that suffering. We'll hear about that in Philippians 3, when and if we get there. You will share in that suffering, and if you need help and encouragement and a way through the pain and the suffering, always look back to Calvary, because Jesus suffered unmercifully for our sins, and the same Holy Spirit who sustained him on the cross can sustain us and comfort us through our suffering experience, regardless whether it's aging or whether it's disease or other troubles and trials that are hindering you from happiness and holiness. Trust Jesus. He will lead you through that painful experience. I had a great experience. Pat and I visited a friend at McMinnville Hospital the other evening, and he is a believer. He's ready to go home, and everybody thought he was going to maybe that very night. Well, he didn't, and I think he was disappointed that he didn't. But they changed his medication, and now he's not about to die. And so he's having a hard time making that adjustment. He thought he was going to be with the Lord, and now Jay, you had that experience too, didn't you? And he thought he was going to be with the Lord, but no. The change of doctors from a cardiologist to a neurologist made all the difference in the world, and we'll go see him again, and we'll rejoice together that God has extended his life a little more. But he's still looking forward to heaven, I'll tell you that. Well, I haven't even gotten to my text, but I'm going to right now. Philippians 2:9 through 11. Therefore, also, God highly exalted him. The Father exalted his Son and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is such a fantastic text. I feel very inadequate in myself, of course, to unveil it the way I should. But think of this for just a moment. God highly exalted him. How did he do that? He raised him from the dead. He died. He was really dead. Some thought that he had just swooned. We talked about the swoon theory and all the other theories when I was in Bible college that people tried to come up with, but they're all theories. The fact is, he died on the cross for our sins. As a human being, he died there. And everybody knew that he was dead, and they took him from the cross, and Joseph took him down and took him and put him in the tomb and placed him there because he was there for 3 days in the tomb. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and then the third day he rose again. I thought this is the message I'd be giving on Easter Sunday, but the timing didn't work out. You're going to hear another Easter sermon later on the 20th, if I'm here. Yes, that's what you'll hear, another resurrection. You never can get enough about resurrection. It gives us life. It gives us hope. It is our future, the glory that we have ahead of us. I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for the resurrection, it'd be hard to be encouraged some days, wouldn't it? But if he can raise you out of bed, my friend, that's a miracle in itself some days. And just praise God that he does that. God highly exalted him, and that includes not only resurrection, but look what else he did. He bestowed on him the name which is above every name. And the name, of course, is Jesus. There are a lot of important names around in the world that we live in. You can just open up some kind of a magazine if you went and look at the 50 top names that they celebrate, and all over the Grammys and the awards that they give out to celebrities and everybody in the sports world. Oh, there's some big names in the sports world. But those names mean absolutely nothing compared to the name of Jesus. He isn't on a list of names. He is in a name by himself. The name Jesus was given to him at his birth when they were told by the angel Gabriel, you will give him the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was taken from Joshua way back in the Old Testament, because Joshua led the people into the land and saved them from all their past and gave them a whole new start. Jesus did better than that. He brought salvation from sin, gave him the name Jesus above every other name. Wow. And there were a lot of other names that Jesus had. We think of him in Revelation chapter 1, he's called Almighty God. And in Isaiah 9:6, the same. The name Emmanuel, we saw that in one of our songs today. God with us. And we praise God that when Jesus is in our life and in our heart, and he is with us all the time, never will leave us nor forsake us. He's the great high priest. Hebrews chapter 3 and other verses in chapter 7 talk about that great high priest. Jesus is the Holy One of God in Mark chapter 1. Even the demons called him the Holy One of God. They gave him proper titles, but they did not receive him as Savior. They're lost forever because they rejected the Savior, and they mocked the Savior, and they denied the Savior. He's King of Kings. There's coming a time when Jesus Christ is going to rule on this earth for 1,000 years, the Bible talks about. That's a long time. If you think you're old now, wait till you get into that one. Some of those people are going to live several hundred years, perhaps, and have children. And those children are going to have to know about the Lord before that 1,000 years is up, because at the end, Satan's got one more lick at it. He's going to get released for a while to try to deceive those people to turn to him instead of to the Lord. It's an amazing thing. Is it a mystery to you that Satan is still around? It is to me, kind of. But the more I study it, the more I realize that it has to do with the justice of God. Think about that, that if God is going to offer us a free gift of everlasting life, and he has not made us into robots, he's given us choices to choose between him or something else, God in his justice gives Satan the opportunity to test the desires of every living being. Will they follow him and his enticements, or will they follow Jesus Christ and be benefited by that? Wow. If you read the scriptures, you know, it's a no-brainer. Follow Jesus. Satan is going to lead you right into the darkness. He's going to lead you into the abyss. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, not for people. Originally in God's plan, it was made for the devil and his people. And when people are so stubborn and so unbelieving and so rebellious, and so wrong that they're going to make bad choices and follow Satan. They have to go where he goes. They follow their master. John, in John's gospel, Jesus said to those self-righteous Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." And they were imitating their father by being religious but totally lost. Wow. Polished but never cleansed. Wow. What a bad situation that was. There's a name above every name. It's the name of Jesus. He's going to reign as king. He's going to be King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 19 tells us. He's the Messiah. He's the Prince of Peace. He was the Son of God. We talked about that last week, didn't we? The Son of God and the Son of Man. The Son of the Most High. Malachi calls him the Son of Righteousness. S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. We find our righteousness only in him. When we trust him, we get exalted. I was a sinner. Now I'm a sinner saved by grace. Wow, what a difference that makes. I don't want to be just a sinner. I want to be a sinner saved by grace. And God doesn't look at me as even a sinner now. I'm a son. I'm a son, and you're a son. You're a daughter. And he has that relationship with you. And your past is behind you as far as that's concerned. He sees you through the eyes of the Lord Jesus himself, who forgave you of all your sins. You have a perfect standing with him. If that doesn't motivate us to have a more perfect walk with him, I don't know what it'll take. If we can't understand our position of perfection in Christ, we will never be really motivated to live more righteously for him. Put every cylinder to work in walking with Jesus, and you will be exalted. Peter says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. There you go. That talks about resurrection, doesn't it? I have believers and friends and family. Their body is in the grave. One day they're going to be lifted up in resurrection, and they're going to be exalted all the way to heaven. You can read about that almost anywhere, but in 1 Thessalonians 4, talks about the major, major change that's going to come over when the resurrection happens and Christ returns. We're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Wow, what a tremendous way to be exalted. We're going to leave this earth, this planet earth that's going to be cursed and destroyed. This world will pass away, Jesus says, but my word won't pass away. I will keep my word to you. And Jesus is the Word of God. I am the way, the truth, the life. Wow, Jesus is everything. And we see that right here in these verses. God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And every knee ultimately will bow, these verses tell us. Who are to do that? Those who are in heaven, angels, and believers who are already there. Those that are on the earth, that's us. We should bow in adoration and praise of Jesus Christ for who he is and what he has done for us. And those under the earth. Those under the earth. Wow. There are those, you know, that are in chains, in prisons somewhere. They're not on the surface of the earth anymore. They're in bondage, awaiting the final judgment where they will be cast into the lake of fire. Demons, Satan, and everyone else. The holy angels are in heaven, serving our Lord, ministering to the saints. I assume we've all got at least one guardian angel. I'm glad of that, the way I drive. Wow. I get over here on time every Sunday. I slept in this morning, and I'll tell you what, I had to really rush to get around. I was sleeping so good. But we made it. We made it in time for Sunday school. If I can drive 51 miles to come to Sunday school, boy, there you go. I bet you can drive five. to come to Sunday school and hear some great lessons in the Word. And maybe come tonight. I'm giving a little commercial here. And why don't I drive back 51 miles to come to evening service? Because I go to another evening service over there. Oh, I can't be in two places at once. I want to tell you, I love the Lord, and I love being here, and I love preaching the Word, and I love sharing with you these tremendous truths. The will of God is that eventually, because He is God, every knee will bow in acknowledgement that He was always right and they were always wrong. I acknowledged Him as Lord, and I acknowledged that I needed Him. I confessed Him as Lord and Savior, and He became my Savior. And I did that, and it brought me salvation. But for some people, like stubborn atheists and other people who are so wound up in the pleasures of this life, who don't want to call Him Lord, they're going to someday wish they had done that while they had the opportunity to be saved. There'll be a time of regret in hell because people did not, at the right time, while they had the opportunity, acknowledge that Jesus died for their sins according to the Scriptures. Some don't believe that He did. Some extreme theologians even don't believe that Jesus died for everybody. They just believe He died for the elect. I'm not in that camp. My Bible says in 1 John 4:10, I hope, that He died for our sins. He made propitiation for us. It's in 1 John 2 also. He made propitiation for us, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. God so loved the world, not just the elect. Boy, I'm getting off on a rabbit trail here. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Perishing is not what I call exaltation. Being saved is exaltation. Heaven is as high as you're ever going to be exalted, and there is no higher place to go. He is the God of the Most High. He's in the third heaven, if we can call it that from the Scriptures, way beyond anything scientists have ever discovered with their telescopes. Way up higher than anyone else has ever been. But you know what? What a time that will be when everybody in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, I believe it is, that no one can call Him Lord unless the Holy Spirit has come into their lives and changed them, and He becomes their Lord. He is Lord of all, but He's Lord with a capital L for every true believer. Don't ever forget that. Give Him the opportunity to express and display His lordship in your life. By doing that, you will be believing Him when you pray. You'll be receiving answers from Him because He's the one that gives the answers. And you'll be worshiping Him in spirit and in truth because He is Lord. I hope none of you have any doubts about who Jesus Christ is. You shouldn't have if you attend this church. You should know He is God's only begotten Son, who was exalted by His own resurrection. And He was lifted up in an ascension into heaven. And the disciples stood there and watched Him go into heaven. And the promise that Jesus made to them, God made to them, the same Jesus whom you have seen go into heaven will come in like manner. He's coming back. So He not only had a virgin birth and a virtuous life, and a vicarious death and a victorious resurrection. But I guess to keep up with those V's, He has a valiant session. He's seated at the right hand of God until His enemies will become His footstool. And that's going to happen, my friend, in our future days. The enemies that are rejecting Him, mocking Him, and just turning their backs to Him today will one day say, "No, I was wrong." They'll bow their knee. They'll say with their tongue, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Wow, what a day that's going to be. We need that kind of encouragement to know that our God is going to see that that happens. I can't cause people to do that. I have a few atheist friends, and I haven't been very successful in convincing them of this. But I'll tell you what, I'm praying for them because the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And that is only a fool that would do that. Because God in Romans 1 says that he has put a knowledge of himself in every human soul. And to say no to that and to deny that is to be stupid, to be foolish. Just believe, look out there and see the beautiful creation. Pat and I watched a marvelous thing last night on a DVD about the mystery of life and all of that. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's so good. He is the creator. He's Lord of all. The earth belongs to him. And when he comes into our life, we can say the Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Jesus is exalted in the hearts and lives of believers. Why shouldn't we exalt him? He is Lord. And that's going to bring glory to God the Father. Jesus is Yahweh. He is the I Am. He is the one that's going to be really, really exalted so that the whole world will eventually know he is who he said he was. We're going to have a little communion service today. It's all about reminding ourselves of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us at the cross. And Jesus told his disciples, we're going to celebrate the Passover. He showed them how to prepare for it. They went and got the elements so that they could have a meal together. Judas was there. And it was the very night when Jesus was going to be betrayed, wasn't it? That he wanted to celebrate with his disciples for the final time before he went to the cross. It can be a very solemn moment. We've talked about exaltation. But to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face around the communion table, we can really worship here. We're already in a mode of worship. But when we think of what Jesus did for us at the cross, our arthritic knees should still bow to him, shouldn't they? I'm not asking you to do it where you sit, but let your heart bow to him today. And let's think of all he did for us. And in appreciation of that, we partake of the elements that speak of his death. The bread, speaking of his body that was broken for us. And the juice, which refers to, of course, the shed blood of our Lord. Jesus had some pretty tough things to say to his disciples. He says, unless you eat my bread and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, they aren't supposed to be cannibals. But they are to take this truth in, just like you take bread into your mouth and it becomes a part of your body. It becomes nourishment. You take the drink in, it does the same. There's life in our Lord. Peter said, wow, to whom could we go if you leave us? You have the words of eternal life, Peter said. And he's right. Jesus has the words of eternal life. So I'm going to ask the fellows to come and share now around the communion table, as we do what Jesus asked us to do. There are lots of things in this text in 1 Corinthians 11 that remind us to examine our own hearts and lives. God looks down through the heavens and he has his eyes on every one of us. He knows what goes into our hearts and minds. He knows your thoughts, my thoughts. He knows when we sit down, when we rise up. He knows when we come to church, when we don't come to church. He knows when we're happy in Him, and He knows when we're disgruntled with somebody else, need to be forgiven. Think about all of that as we begin to participate in this service, because this is supposed to be a cleansing time. It's supposed to be a purifying thing. It's supposed to be a time of deep worship and contemplation about our status with the Lord at the moment here. We might have come to church today troubled about something or worried. Leave your worry behind when you come to this table. This is the Lord's table. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all the circumstances that hold us back. He's Lord of all the fears that come into our lives. He's Lord of all the deficiencies that we think we have. And I'm amongst you. I feel inadequate to be a preacher. But people think I should keep preaching, so I've got to do something. I want to do what the Lord wants. And if He calls me into a different career, He better hurry, because my days are limited. But I'm going to preach as long as there's the Word of God in my heart and in my hands. I'm going to do this. And I'm here by the appointment of God to invite you to be a part of this table today. And you're here. But if there is a circumstance where you're not willing to shed attitudes that aren't conducive to worshiping the Lord, and you've got bitterness in your heart and you're not going to let loose of it, just don't bother with the table, because you would be taking of it unworthily. Don't condone any sin in your life, my friend, no matter how simple you think it is or how insignificant it is. Sin is too significant to ignore. God knows it. Release it. Be freed of it. Confess it right now, before you drink and before you eat the bread. Well, I'm going to quit preaching and we're going to celebrate this table. I'm going to ask Brother Mark if he will lead us in prayer regarding this worship moment.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day, this time that You've called us to be separate and to remember Your grace, Your glory, Your sacrifice. Father, thank You for the blood and for the bread that reminds us of Your sacrifice for us and our responsibility to You in it. Father, we thank You for Your righteousness and Your saving power for us for day to day. Father, may we always remember. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus invited all of his disciples around the table to participate in this Passover meal. He said, "This is my body, it's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's us do that too. Then he took the cup, likewise, and offered it to his disciples. First Corinthians 11, there's a rather interesting thought there that comes to my mind right now, and that is that Jesus said, when you participate in this and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I bet you never thought of yourselves perhaps as preachers, but you and I proclaim Christ whenever we do what he says. Whether it's an act of generosity and giving something to others, or whether it's testifying to him to someone in the marketplace, or whether it's here today in this moment of worship, as we participate in his death, we're crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. Yet not I, Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this body, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. So, my fellow preachers, let's proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Bible says once they had this service, they sung a hymn and then they went out. So there's going to be a hymn after our communion service today.
Pastor Cloyce brought this up, and I thought it beneficial to read it. And it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'll start in 14 and go to through 18. And it's great to give context to what we praise. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord. We will not proceed